At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's your host, Neo Gentrix, and this is Food for Thought. Thoughts if it were you. This is season 3 in 2022. How you guys doing? How is your day? It's great to be back, guys. It's great to be able to speak again. It's great to not have to be sitting in the corner crying and wondering about my life choices because, you know, life sucks, and it always seems to throw you a curveball when you least expect it. But what can you do, right? So let's go ahead and have a look at some of the interesting topics that I have for you guys today. Today we're going to talk about what is learning. Okay, last time I told you that we would be covering learning topics and learning skills this year, so I figured I'd kick it off with starting off with what the heck learning even is. And you know, it's one of those topics that is overly debated across the world to the point where most people have a general analysis of learning being just the ability to absorb information and use it, which is not quite right, okay? To be technically accurate, that's not quite the best definition best definition anyone should use, okay? To simplify, almost every action we take is a result of some form of past learning, yet most people learn in different ways and still remain in an activity state of undertaking those learning features, as well as associating with an educational context, if you will. So the idea here is that how do I simplify this? I guess the best way I can word this is that as babies, we learn to eat, gain attention, crawl, walk, etc. You know, until we develop into a type of child where our bodies are more functional, and then we learn how to use our body in different ways, so we can learn inordinate range of skills. So basically, learning is something that is indelibly embedded in our DNA. It's something that we just naturally know how to do. There's not a single person in this world that's not born without the ability to learn in some way or capacity. Okay? Because as a baby, you want attention, so you have to figure out how to do it. You want to crawl to get where you need to be. You want to be able to walk because you see everyone else is able to walk. So the only way to do it is to learn, okay? Traditionally, research and studies around learning focus primarily on just the early years of learning through childhood and adolescence. But it's now been recognized that learning is a continuous process that commences at birth, but continues until the day you actually die. So you continue to learn even when you're not learning. Okay, it's a process through which we use all of the experiences that we have in our life to deal with new situations and even develop our relationships to move further in life. So it's not something that it's easily glanced over, okay? One of the topics that I plan to cover this year is lifelong learning, something you can look forward to, okay? A lot of learning occurs randomly throughout our life, so from those new experiences, we gain information, and, you know, from our perceptions, we can improve upon our abilities to do certain things or how we perceive certain things and grow. Okay, for example, reading a newspaper or watching news broadcasts or even talking with a friend or colleague increases our chances in meetings or allows for unexpected experiences to occur. You know, running into people we'd never think we'd run into, getting a job we never thought we would land, being able to get an apartment that you never thought you'd be able to afford because your credit is bad, you never know. Okay? Many experiences in life provide us with learning opportunities from which we can choose whether or not to learn. You can choose to say no. But in the end, it's probably not in your best interest, because when all things fall or fail, it's those experiences which you ignored in the past you're going to look back on and be like, dang, I wish I took that skill, or I wish I had taken the time to learn that, or maybe college isn't so stupid after all. You know, and don't get me wrong, a lot of things about college is stupid and the way they handle it, but that is a whole other topic for another day, and again, it's still up for debate. So, but keep in mind that this type of experimental learning is still in contrast to more formal approaches to learning, such as training, mentoring, coaching, teaching, all of which have some structure in, you know, that they are planned learning in, you know, involving different facilities and such. So, to keep this as simple as possible, teaching, training, and other structured learning opportunities are activities that one person does to another, while learning is something we do only for ourselves. Okay? You can't teach someone else to learn, but you can learn how to teach. All right, so we're back, and I did mention the difference between teaching and learning. So I guess I would be in the classification of a person who is learning, but at the same time teaching, because if you're learning something from this, then I'm able to teach it to you in a way where you're able to understand it. So learning involves far more than just thinking, first off. I want you to understand that it involves the whole personality. This includes your senses, your feelings, your intuitions, your beliefs, values, and your will, which nobody can override of, but they can still find a way to crush. So you need to protect your will with all your might. If we don't have the will to learn, okay, we won't learn. And if we have learned, we're actually changed in some way that allows us to progress faster, more efficiently, and, you know, move along in society a lot more effectively. If the learning makes no difference, it can have little significance beyond being just random ideas that float through our consciousness and allows us to exist, but who would want that? You know, learning needs to meet some personal need, and, you know, recognizing and identifying such needs, and that enables us to evaluate whether the learning has been worthwhile or successful. That's something to keep in mind. Now, let me ask you this. When does learning occur? Well, it can be simply explained in like 4 points. Learning occurs when we are able to, 1, gain a mental or physical grasp of the subject that we're trying to learn. 2, make sense of a subject, event, or feeling by, you know, interpreting it into our own words and actions where we can understand it. And 3, use our newly acquired ability or knowledge in conjunction with the skills that we already have or don't have, and, you know, understanding we have already possessed. In the process of doing all that, the 4th thing becomes possible. do something now with the new knowledge or skill and then take ownership of it. It's like learning to code. Yeah, you can learn all the meaning of everything and know what they mean, but until you actually use it, it means nothing to you. Okay? So, key principles of learning. Okay? There are a vast range of theories that explain or attempt to explain and demonstrate the way that people learn their stuff. And such theories can often contrast with each other depending on the type of learning that they reference. You know, for example, traditional learning theories associated with children and adolescents engaged in schooling differ from the theories associated with adult learning. And that's only because the way they take in information is slightly different. Children are going to ask a lot of questions, but they don't understand. But adults understand, but then they don't ask any questions. You see my point? Or at least they think they understand. The following list that I'm about to give you, I have here, is a generic list that identifies the key principles associated with all types of learning. You know, and it can be applied to group situations as well as when learning alone or with a mentor, tutor, or trainer is either possible or not possible. So the list can contain, there's more you can add to this list. Okay, this is just a sample list, but if you can understand some of the key concepts of it, then you're learning something and you're able to use the list that I'm about to provide you more effectively. Okay, first off, okay, people learn best when they're treated with respect and they're not talked down to or treated as ignorant. This is a lesson I had to learn the hard way, and I'm still learning it now, so I'm speaking from experience. First off, you need to establish ground rules at the start of a training session, which will reinforce this principle in a more effective way. However, for the training to be most effective and to involve full participation, the trainer should also model the same behavior that they expect the trainee to have. They need to exemplar that behavior. They need to show it in a way where the other person knows that they understand that, you know, we're both on the same level here, but I'm going to try my best to explain this where you can understand it so it doesn't sound like I'm talking over your head or like you're talking to you in a way where, yeah, you're the idiot and I'm trying to teach you, okay? Next, learning opportunities should, when possible, be linked to previous positive experiences, unless it requires a negative experience, but that's a whole nother thing, okay? Learners should be encouraged to be self-directed in terms of goal setting, since this is of, you know, well, it's usually improves commitment and motivation and increases participation. But that, again, facilitators should examine the expectations of the learner at the start of the course or session, whatever it is, to help encourage self-direction. Okay. When possible, learners should take part in the planning of the learning activities. Why? Because learners should be encouraged to be self-directed in goals and terms of goal settings, since this usually helps improve commitment and motivation. And it helps them out by letting them be part of the action, okay? Facilitators should also examine the expectations of the learner at the start of the course while doing this or the session. To also help encourage that same self-direction. So it goes back to like the second point, okay? Most importantly, people learn best when their physical environment is comfortable to them. So if they're uneasy or nervous, it's going to make it a lot harder than it needs to be. In group situations, though, a positive emotional and supportive environment is probably more important than anything else. Individuals in groups tend to learn best when they can socialize and interact with other group members. This doesn't work with introverts, though, but just a heads up. With them, it's a little bit different. It have to be a little more hands-on and hands-off at the same time. Okay. And we're back. So, moving forward with the information that I've been given so far. Interaction with a facilitator is vital for the learner. People need to be able to react, question, and voice their opinions on what they learn. In group situations, quieter members should be, you know, gently encouraged to put their input. Again, most of those people are shy, they're nervous. You want to make them feel comfortable so that you can get them to respond. Because if they're not voicing any questions or asking or, you know, making their concerns known, no one's going to know if they understand the material or not. And they're just going to have to figure out on their own when they leave, or you need to be able to determine it so that you can help them. Learning activities, you know, or delivery, depending on what it is, needs to be varied. Why? Because you need to be able to cover a range of different learning styles. This is something that a lot of teachers don't do. Okay? Reason is, it helps the learner maintain interest and motivation. They need to be able to learn through multiple methods, not just one. You can't force them to do this. Some people are incapable of learning using any of those other methods, but, you know, it is possible. In a classroom setting, for example, include discussions or activities, especially some sort of, problem solving, as part of the lesson or lecture, which will, you know, help the learners to interact, engage with the subject more because they're being part of it. Offer instant reward help, rewards with help. Instant rewards help with the discussions and practice of the material to help them understand it. People learn best if the results or rewards of learning are made clear, and they can, you know, demonstrate during or immediately after learning whatever it is that they understand, then they can do it. Okay. Along with that, self-evaluation and reflective practice is also important, but that's only in the sense that learners should be encouraged to reflect on what they've learned. But this is a given. Okay. They have to be able to think of ways that they can further their knowledge of the said material. But again, reflective practices and self-evaluation should be something that most people do anyway. And most people do it automatically without thinking about it, because they want to improve on what they have. They want to know if they can go further with it or if this is their limit. So just to keep that in mind. The next thing I want to cover is the packed learning cycle. Okay, this is something I had to go look up, so it's something that's out there. You can find it. Just search the PACT, P-A-C-T, learning cycle. Okay. The reason I use this is because many attempts have been made by academics and others to map and explain learning processes. It's generally recognized that learning takes place in a repetitive cycle, an ongoing series of processes that run over and over again that basically help you learn. It's the best way I can put it. Okay, it's a giant circle. I wish I could show you, but again, you can always look this up yourself. In the circle, it's split into four sections, like a pie. You know, cut a pie into four pieces, and they have top left, procure, top right, apply, bottom left, transform, and bottom right, consider. Now, what do these things have to do with anything? Well, these four things are what is known as the PACT learning cycle. Okay, procure means the new knowledge, theory, and ability skill is acquired. That's where we start. The second step is to apply that knowledge, in the sense that the new knowledge or skill is then practiced in some way. Then you go to consider, which is the bottom right. The results of the practice are then evaluated and assessed to make sure that they flow and that you understand the material. And then transform. Take that said original knowledge or ability that you just learned and have mastered, and then modify it accordingly to whatever system or set that you need, whether it's gaming or programming. It's basically a learn, test, procure, setup, enable, transform, start over again, and do this over and over again. This helps you continue to learn. You can take information that you just learned and transform that you can use now to benefit you to learn more, and then, you know, the cycle continues to repeat. The pack cycle should help with demonstrating that learning is an iterative process, and, you know, our learning evolves as we develop, and we utilize early knowledge for later understanding. You're never going to fully understand it now or until the time comes for you to understand it. There are many examples of these processes in action. But that being said, you know, usually we learn the basics of a subject or skill before progressing to intermediate advance our expert levels. And at each stage, we build on the knowledge and the experience that we already have acquired and gain further knowledge and experience, techniques, and, you know, repeating the learning cycle, like I said earlier, over and over again. All right, so with the back cycle out of the way, and for the most part, basic understanding of how learning works out of the way, we can now get to the last points that I wish to make about this whole thing in the first place. First off, learning capacity. Our individual learning capacity varies considerably, and it will not only depend on the ability, but also our motivation, our will, our desire, our personality, our learning styles, which is something I will cover later, and awareness of our own learning processes, okay? It's a thing, trust me. It's not something that is easily glossed over. Working on your awareness of your learning processes means learning how to learn. And yes, you have to learn how to learn. For example, in university settings, you know, college students, they are usually taught some study skills, which include learning how to seek information when needed and how to use it appropriately. Sometimes you have to learn how to learn in order to learn. And while it does seem roundabout and a really obnoxious way to put it, that's essentially it. That's the whole point. Learning is an internal activity and a key personal development skill that everybody needs. It's not something that can be directly observed in others. And we can, however, observe the results of learning in ourselves and others. But again, this is why in formal learning situations, assessments is such a crucial part of the teaching process. So the results of academic assessments, essays, and exams, etc., are simply attempts to measure how much an individual has learned. But again, they can't measure the actual process of learning. You know, the one who's going to be able to attest to that is the person learning themselves. And you can only get so far with that because an assessment can only attest down to a certain level. Learning brings about change in the way we act, think, feel about ourselves and other people around us, the world around us, and so on. Such changes can be made permanent, or they can be temporary, depending on your perception of the importance and relevance of the said information or the gained knowledge that you have. So keep that in mind. There's so much out there to learn, and there's so many ways to do it. One of the topics that I look forward to covering will be critical thinking and fake news and how to be able to identify them. But for now, just note that between what is learning and the approaches, learning approaches that one can take, there's also the different learning styles, which I'll definitely be going into. Okay? Trust me, you don't want to miss out on the one for the different learning styles, as I'm one of those people who learns and adapts, and I can use just about any of the learning styles should I need to. Can you do this too? Yes. Am I saying this to brag? No. I'm saying this because it took a while to get here. My parents had to teach me this from the ground up when I was younger, mostly due to that accent that I was in years ago. But hey, not everybody can be golden, okay? Life goes on. We all experience issues, and we try to move forward. The important thing to do here when you go through hardships and stuff of that nature is to, pun intended, learn from it. Grow, move on, and continue to learn. Have a great day.